Good morning, church family. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I'm thankful for your presence, whether you're one of our members or a guest. We welcome each one this morning. Today we're going to begin a new series from the letter to the Colossians. And so if you have your Bible or Bible app, I would invite you to join me there in the letter to the Colossians. In our culture that prefers opposing sides oftentimes, my intent for this series is to challenge us to realign our full allegiance to the way of the all-sufficient Christ. And so to start us off, I want us to pay close attention to Paul's opening prayer, Colossians 1, starting in verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. When I read this beautiful, heartfelt prayer, I think of different churches that I've visited and ministers and shepherds and missionaries that speak the same way that Paul speaks of this church. And for us personally here at Alta Mesa, when I read this and began thinking about this series, my heart went straight to John and Linda Glover. And I want to invite them to go ahead and start making their way toward their stage. They're going to share just a bit of some of their story from their recent trip to Liberia. Because when I read Paul's prayer here for the Colossians, it reminds me of the way that John and Linda speak about the people in Monrovia, Liberia. This is where we support the Linda Glover Foundation Home and School. And if you have ever spent any time with these two wonderful people, you know they are passionate about this work. You know that they love the 20 kids that call home at the Linda Glover Foundation Home and School. You know that they are passionate and so grateful for the native house parents there, Otis and Dorothy. You know that even as recently as their trip last month, that they are so excited about the emerging school, especially the growing number of trained teachers that are teaching at the school. And you also know that they are very passionate about some of the recent growth and the maturation of the church there. It's the Saytown Church of Christ, correct? And they are just thrilled of the growth that they see in their faith in the Lord Jesus. And so you know that they love these people. And frankly, I've heard enough video and stories from other people that the people there love you guys as well, obviously. And so when I read this prayer from Paul to the Colossians, I really do think about John and Linda and their passion for Jesus' gospel, not to just be known in Liberia, but literally around the world, domestically and around the world, they have a passion for that to happen. And as Paul the missionary prays for the Colossians, a people that he deeply loves and admires, I do think of you guys. I think of the heart that you have for the people of Liberia. And so we met this week and we talked about their trip, and I've asked John first to think about this question, and I'm sure he has a few things to share. And so as Paul prayed for the Colossians, he said, "All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it." And so, John, when you guys went this last time, how did you see the gospel bearing fruit and growing in Monrovia, but especially at the home and school?
The churches of Christ all over Liberia have one thing in mind, and that's to evangelize Liberia. They want the gospel to go to all of Liberia. And so leaders meet and everything happens. And while we were there, the little church or the church that meets, the Saytown Church of Christ that was established at the new home, two were baptized from the community, and then one of our girls was baptized.
Amen.
Our girls meaning living there on campus, Anna. But anyway, we see the growth. We see it taking roots. The thing that thrills me, and I've been thinking about this a lot since we have talked, the thing that thrills me is that this is us. This is what we are doing. This is what this congregation's a big part of and a very important part of. The church on the campus is growing. It's reaching out. I think of two of our young, or really three of our young people. There's one, Johnson Moore, Paul Meyer, both lead songs in the congregation there. Great song leaders. Then we have another little song leader. He's called, and we've talked to you about Rocket Baby, but Rocket Baby is now Anthony. But you know the story of Rocket Baby. He was found wrapped in a blanket. His parents were killed by rockets during the war, or mortars, we would call them here, I think. But anyway, Rocket Baby just is so enthusiastic in his song leading and the way that he presents himself. But also one of our great lady leaders, Odell, one of the girls. All of these are fine leaders. Every one of them, though, have in mind, let's take the gospel. Let's get it outside this compound. And Paul Meyer had been out with a group and came back reporting his carrying the gospel outside the compound. And he'd also been to a prison. And just one of the guys on campus. So I'm thankful to you. I'm grateful to you that, and wish that every one of you could see these young people and their enthusiasm for the Lord and to see the gospel really going out all over this area.
Amen. Thank you, John. So just pass that to Linda. So I've asked Linda, as we met this week, to consider some things that we can be praying for, because it's one thing to send our finances, but it's another thing for us to offer ourselves in time and prayer to the Lord on their behalf. And we really want to call upon the church to do that. As we see growth, we see not just spiritual growth, but physical growth and joy and all of these things in these pictures. I have not been there yet. I plan to go soon. So Linda, we asked you this week to be thinking about prayers that this church could be offering. So in your mind and your heart, returning from this recent trip, what are the things that we could be praying for the home and school?
Thank you, Micah. That the LGCF will find favor with the government. There's always a lot of contact with the government for various things, and we try to stay up, but sometimes it's a challenge. So favor with the government of Liberia, and that the children realize more and more the blessings that they have had and that they've received, and that they will be a blessing to others. We tell them that every other visit, little on-campus visit, just all day long, we talk to them about much has been given to you, and you must give back. We have a West Point teacher now that over in the slum area that he was a student at West Point, and I couldn't believe it. On Teacher Education Day, he was sitting there, and he's come back to West Point to teach, so he's going to give back.
Amen.
Be thankful for that, because that's success in missions.
Amen.
That the church and community to see God's blessings and love and will glorify God and give praise and thanksgiving. And I just wish we could tell you how they can't believe what they're seeing in their community. It's just unreal. They're in a rural area. The only thing that makes it not rural, it's the road to the airport. but it's rural. And they've got, they call it a modern building. So just be thankful that they can see God's blessings and that they'll continue. House parents' health, long life. Life is short in Africa. We don't want these house parents to have a short life. We want them to just live forever, or a long time on this earth. And they will ask for wisdom, and they do that. They're very wisdomful spiritual people. God just dropped them out of heaven. Teachers at Tower Hill and West Point to be strong and to bring on more teachers. We've got to add grades, and we need teachers. You could build a school every minute, open the door, and you would not reach all the children of the world, and you would not find teachers. It's a big challenge. You can't just say, I'm going to build a school. And we need an outdoor cooking and eating area for the church and all to gather in, and for the mission to be self-sustainable. And for safe travel, because they now have a car, a van on campus. There's a lot of stories can go along with that, what's going to happen. And that they'll be safe from malaria. There's an outbreak of measles started the day after we left. Mm. That can be very serious. There's been one death. So from measles, malaria, Ebola, just pray for them and be specific. Thank you.
Very good. Let's do that right now. Join us in prayer, church. Our Father in heaven, We are grateful to you. You are sovereign, and you are the Almighty. And so, God, we just ask that through your power and grace, that you would be with the home and school in Liberia, that you would bless the children there, that you would continue to work among them and grow them up in favor and in wisdom and stature. God, would you bless them in every way? We pray for Otis and Dorothy, God, the house parents. We pray that you would keep them strong in health and spirit. And God, we just pray for every leader that is among them, church leader, community leader, school teachers. Father, we pray that you would lift them up and empower them through your might. God, we pray that the home and school and the church there would find favor with the government. And we just ask that through your power and wisdom that you would build relationship, that they could work together, and that your kingdom could come on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Father, we are thankful for John and Linda. We're thankful for everyone in this church that has been involved in this work. And I pray that you would stir within our hearts and each one of us, that we would find ways to participate in Liberia, in Saltillo, mm-hmm. and in every work that we have in this church, Father. Would you stir within our hearts to be participants in your kingdom work here? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much. Yeah, let's thank them for sharing this morning. So the missions committee would like to invite the church as a whole to spend a day at a special workshop coming up on June the 5th, right after second service is over. We'd like you to put this date on your calendar and hold that. Leaders from Missions Resource Network, a very fine nonprofit organization that helps churches develop and mature in their missions work, is going to be here to help us envision and to help us plan how we can best share the gospel of Jesus to the world. There's going to be a free lunch. There will be childcare provided. And so if you have an interest in missions, we would ask you to be there. You're going to be able to kind of explore and think about different ways in which you can participate in our missions work. So put June 5th on your calendar and join us for that workshop. As Christ followers today, we live in a pluralistic society that is oftentimes polarizing. In other words, there's lots of options in many different areas of life, and many of us are drawn toward an opposing side. And this polarization has led to an increase, in my opinion, of scoffing at the Christian faith. And just frankly this morning, church, many of us Christians are hatefully scoffing back at people who don't believe like us. And maybe there's a better way. Maybe the all-sufficient Christ draws us in to his way. Colossians was written to a church that was struggling to hold firmly to the all-sufficient Christ, and these new Christians in Colossae over 2,000 years ago, they had foes in their city that challenged and mocked their faith. And so the Apostle Paul writes these beautiful words reminding them that the acids of criticism might be able to eat away at a weak foundation, but he was reminding them that their faith was rooted in the one by whom and for whom all things were created and sustained. And so Paul's bold message to them and to us was clear. Jesus Christ is supreme above all because he is the image of the invisible God. And you write that down because that's the thesis of Colossians. That's what he's going to get to very quickly. That's what he's going to punctuate time and time again. And as Paul continues in this opening prayer, we read the first half moments ago, as he continues on with this prayer for the Colossians, he's beginning to set up this ultimate theme that Jesus is the supreme Son of God that has done great things for all of creation. I want you to look at verse 10 as he continues. He's going to mention four specific ways to be faithful to God, and it's crucial for every Christ follower. So take note of these four specific things that we can do to remain faithful. The first is found in verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have not only heard but received as truth into our lives should change our lives. And the analogy here is really simple. An abundant harvest of good fruit reveals that there is a healthy fruit tree. Likewise, an abundant harvest of faith works reveals the spiritual health of a Christian. But unfortunately, there's many of us who identify as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, and yet we're refusing to put our faith into practice. Author Marva Dawn, in her work Reaching Out Without Dumbing Down, wrote these words: television has habituated its watchers to a low information action ratio. People are accustomed to learning good ideas, even sermons, she said, and then doing nothing about it. In other words, we learn enough, just enough, to talk intelligently about something, but we never follow through with action. Listen to me. Paul did not praise the Colossians simply because they learned the gospel. He praised them because their faith had become revealed through action. And so take note of this. The test of our faith is whether it makes any difference in the way that we live and treat other people. You want to test your faith? You want to measure yourself into the likeness of Jesus? Take note of how you're living and treating other people. Next, Paul prays that the Colossians would be growing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1, verse 10. You see, growing deeper in our knowledge of God is a journey that leads us closer and closer to the likeness of Jesus. I like the way N.T. Wright summarizes this. He wrote, deeper knowledge of God will fuel holiness, and holiness will deepen understanding. In other words, knowledge of God is not only about learning the Word of God, but living it, becoming more and more like the Word made flesh. And with that said, I would caution us with this today. In our modern age of technology, it just reigns. Today, with all of its capabilities, we're enamored by it. And are we really that shocked that the majority of Jesus' people are relatively gullible and ignorant when it comes to theological understanding? Oh, we flaunt that we are a Bible people, but many of us really do not know our Bible. And the result of the lack of knowledge of God in our society, from my viewpoint, equals a decrease in moral discernment and human decency among us. And so if we are really going to be a people that lives by the Word, then we need to take it seriously. We need to take it seriously. I mean, our tradition, the Church of Christ, we are big on this. This is a part of our heritage that I just love to the core. We are a people of the Word. But are we? Do we really read it and meditate on it and reflect on it and memorize it? And most importantly, do we live it? Do we really? We need to get serious about this. 9 out of 10 Americans own a Bible, but they rarely read it. And when they do, and I'm guilty of this next sentence, listen. When we do, we tend to use it as a type of Ouija board or something, and we just randomly open it up to find a meaningful purpose for our day. We pick a verse out of midair, and it's like, oh, God has spoken to me. We need to go deeper than that in our study and reflection and application of the Word. It should transform us from the inside out to be more and more like Jesus. And so take note of this. We need to be students and doers of the Word to achieve a greater understanding and expression of our great God. Next, Paul prays this for the Colossians, that they may be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Colossians 1, verse 11. Listen carefully. Knowledge alone does not enable faithfulness. Paul petitions God to give his people divine power to help them live out their knowledge of truth. Listen to what scholar E.D. Martin points out. He says, salvation is much more than a matter of restoring standing with God. Instead, it is a transformation in which God is at work in believers as well as for them. It's this kind of Jesus power given to believers like you and me that gives us a foundation for endurance and faithfulness and patience. And that's what Paul finishes out verse 11 with by mentioning endurance and patience as a byproduct of growing and being strengthened in the knowledge of God. And I just want to share a quick word about enduring patience. Listen to this quote. The word patience means the willingness to stay where we are and to live the situation out to the full in the belief that something hidden will manifest itself to us. Impatient people are always expecting the real thing to happen somewhere else, and therefore they go elsewhere. But patient people dare to stay where they are. Henry Nouwen. May we all be a patient people as God works powerfully within us and through us. And that leads us to the end of Paul's prayer here. He finally prays to the Colossians to joyfully give thanks to the Father. Colossians 1, verse 12. You see, gratitude in light of the gospel of Jesus is an all-encompassing response to all of life, the good and the bad, the joyful and the painful, the holy and the not so holy. And for this reason, joyful gratitude is a difficult daily discipline. And sometimes we forget, or maybe some of us have not yet cherished what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And Paul lays out 3 specific things that we should constantly be giving joy to the Father. We should be giving joy to the Father. We should be giving thanks to Him for what He has done. And he lists out 3 things. Look at verse 12. Paul says, God has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. And that word qualification stands out to me. It's Olympic season, right? Summer Olympics are upon us. And that's what I thought about when I read this passage. I thought about the grueling routine of Olympic athletes. I mean, they eat and sleep and rest whatever their event is. I mean, it's a lifestyle. It's a daily regimen of a strict diet, a strict exercise and recovery. And they do insane workouts for 4 years just for the opportunity to qualify, not to compete in the Olympics, but just to go to the qualification rounds. And if you've ever watched the qualification rounds and just seen the despair and discouragement on those who don't qualify. 4 years they went through this regiment, and they come up short. But you see, friends, that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus. We've all been qualified. There are no qualifying rounds on the road to Jesus. Jesus has done the work for us when it comes to our salvation. We simply must choose to follow him. We must choose to follow the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 calls Jesus the finisher of our faith. And so our job, our journey, is to run the race with endurance, with patience, with our eyes on Jesus. And as we finish the race, when our time comes and we finish the race, guess who's there to greet us? The finisher of our faith. And as we cross that finish line, Paul says here that we have been qualified to receive an inheritance. There's a prize at the end, and it's been won by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we should be joyfully thankful for that. And then finally, Paul reminds us in verses 13 and 14 that we have been rescued, that we have been redeemed by Jesus. And we should be grateful, daily grateful for this incredible blessing that he has rescued us and redeemed us. But if you're anything like me, sin creeps in. Pain, struggle, grief creeps in, and Satan wants nothing more than to take our eyes off of Jesus and to focus our eyes on the difficulties of this world. And fear creeps in, and we feel hopeless at times. But listen to me, God's grace through Jesus Christ frees us, and it redeems us, and it rescues us from the darkness of this world. Diane Comp, a pediatric oncologist, writes about the story of Arthur. This little three-year-old boy had developed cancer, and she was helping to treat him. And she writes about how his wonderful parents were by his side for every treatment, every step of the way. They never lost hope. They were with him. And Diane remembers that one day Arthur's mother called her over so that she could ask her a question. And to her surprise, the mother began to open up to her. She said, "Early on in our marriage, I had an affair and I left my husband. And it wasn't too long that I became pregnant with that other man. And when he learned of the pregnancy, he panicked. And he was forcing me to drink something in hopes of inducing an abortion. And when it didn't work, he abandoned me and my unborn child." And so she began to describe to Diane Comp a sense of brokenness and shame and guilt. And she found herself on the doorstep of her old home begging her husband for forgiveness. And he let her back in. And he forgave her. And they were able to reconcile. And he knew the truth from day one. And he received Arthur as his own son and always treated him that way. And the mother's question to Diane in that moment was, "Do you think that that concoction that I drank to abort that pregnancy caused my little son's cancer?" And the doctor said, I looked at her and said, "We will never know what caused this cancer." But you see, doctors alone cannot heal guilt and shame. And so this mother continued to suffer with this burden for years, this terrible, heavy burden. And several years later, Diane Comp received a letter from this mother. And here's what she wrote. She said, "For years I could not forgive myself, and I rejected the forgiveness that God had offered me in Jesus. And when I finally forgave myself, I began to underline every passage in the Bible that referred to God's forgiveness, and it amazed me how the burden was lifted." And now listen closely to what she wrote to close out the letter. She said, "The healing of memories and guilt, in my mind, can sometimes be more difficult than the healing of cancer." But what was the real reason that she wrote that letter? in the midst of all of this other confession, she let the doctor know that Arthur was getting married. You see, Arthur was one of the first recipients of an experiential drug for his type of cancer, and it worked. He's been in remission for several years, and the mother was writing the good doctor to invite her to Arthur's wedding. And we love stories like this, right? And our hearts dance, and we're joyful, and we're grateful for the physical healing that comes to people. And I just want to implore upon you, church, I want to urge us to daily be mindful that our hearts should dance in the same way that our spirits should be grateful in the same way, if not more, for the spiritual healing that we receive in Jesus Christ. That the life we have now is not a comparison that is in the life to come. It's just not. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how much better it is, but I believe what God's word says, that the life to come is much better than the life that we have now. And so the joy and the gratitude that we have for these physical stories of healing and restoration and reconciliation, our hearts should also be joyful, and we should be celebrating eternal life. The qualification, the rescuing, the redemption of our souls provided by Jesus Christ. Because you mark it down, his spiritual gifts are superior to anything that this world has to offer. And so if you're here this morning and you need the rescuer to rescue you, he is willing, he is able, and he invites you home. If you need to respond to the Lord today in any way, please do it now. Let's stand and sing together.
I will never be.